Ephesians 1 or 2, I think, talking about being led by the Spirit. But this one is going to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you got your Bibles, let's look at Romans 8. Well, first, Zach, we can turn to that. Zach, would you put up Proverbs 3? What is it, 3 through 5? We're just going to read verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the Holy Spirit, it'd do you good if you went back and you read John 14, 15, and 16. Talks a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Tells you a lot of things he does and all of that. But the Holy Spirit helps some people a lot. Yes. And the Holy Spirit helps some people very little. Yeah. Not his fault. He always does his job. The Bible talks about in John 14 and 15 and 16 how the Holy Spirit is the helper. Jesus said that he was going away. He said, but I'll send you another comforter. The word comforter in that is talking about a paraclete when you look at it. It means one that walks along beside. But how many knows, according to Scripture, he's not out here beside us, he's in us. Right? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides within you. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, here in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, I do not like that translation. Why? The Holy Spirit is not an it. We read Scripture already. You go back all the way to Genesis. Talks about the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead or the Trinity. You got God the Father, you got Jesus the Son, which also is the Word, and you have the Holy Spirit. So it should translate, the Spirit himself does what? Beareth witness with what?
Our spirit,
not my head. Not my flesh, not goosebumps. Y'all better hear me now. This is one of the probably one of the most important messages I believe I've ever done in my life. Why? Because what I'm talking about today has an effect in every area of our life, has an effect in every area of your children's life, has an effect in every area of life that you come into contact with, of people, everything. So he says here that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is not the only thing that he's going to bear witness with. But he's telling us here, he says the children of God are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. You are led by something all the time.
Yeah.
You don't just have original thoughts. Did you hear me? You may not know you're being led. Demonic spirits are trying to lead you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for some Christians, they are leading. That's why some people won't go to the house of the Lord this morning. That's the very reason why some people won't tithe and give this morning.
Right.
Oh, y'all real quiet.
Yeah.
Why? Because they look out here, but they don't look in here.
Yeah.
If they did, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness to the Word of God all the time.
Amen.
He never tells you anything opposite of that. So we see here that the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Or no, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I got a lot wrote down here and it's kind of scribble. I'm writing fast. Second Corinthians 13. I thought that don't look right. Verse 1. He says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now you'll find this over the course of the Bible. That's how come some denominations, they take one scripture out of the Bible, out of context, and they make a whole doctrine on it.
Right.
Some of that is talking about women wearing clothing pertaining to a man. They think if I have on women's slacks, I have on clothing pertaining to a man. Don't y'all know there's women's slacks and men's?
Right.
I'm not wearing Scotty's clothes.
Right.
Okay? He wears his own clothes. Just like that one over there where it says, women be silent in the church. That's the only place you'll find that. Go back and study the whole thing there of Corinthians. They had gifts, they had hooping, they had hollering, they had shouting, they had running, they had prophesying, but they are so out of order.
Right.
And all he's doing is trying to set that Corinthian church in proper order. You don't find that. I find scripture over there, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11, where he talks about when a woman in public prophesies, she shouldn't do it with her head uncovered. Now, he's not just talking about us wearing one of the things. He's talking about without authority over your head.
Yeah.
Now, he says there, by two or three witnesses shall every word be established. This is everything. When I have a leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm in here. This is what you see is not me. I am a spirit and I live on the inside. This is kind of like the car that I drive. You know, you got in a car or something and you got here today. Well, in order for me to be here operating in the earth, I have to have a physical body. So I'm in here. But now there's also somebody else that lives in here with me when I got born again.
Yeah.
He never leaves. He might be quiet sometimes if you grieve him or whatever, but he lives on the inside of me. So there's me that lives in here, and then there's the Holy Spirit that lives in here. So I should be looking for at least two witnesses. Never just one. Y'all are real fine. He says there, by every word, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. This is what you would call a co-witness. You know airplanes, the jetliners and all that, they have what's called a co-pilot. What's that mean? Just there's one just pilot in there? No, both of them can fly that plane. But there's two of them. So when you, anytime you have co, that means two or more. Now, let's look at 1 John 5. Gosh, I don't want to read that whole thing at the time. Let's start in verse 4. Just for time's sake, you can go back and read the whole chapter. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness. The Amplified says witness there. That says record. In heaven, the Father, the Word, which we know he came and became Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And then he goes on and talks about how that they are also witnesses. Why? Because they was here in the time of Jesus. They saw the things that he done. They heard the things that he said and all of that. Now, you'll find over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, that it talks about by two or three witnesses. You'll find that same scripture again. Now, let's look at, I think I'm on Acts 5. Let's see. Acts chapter 5, I think I want to start, for time's sake, in verse 28. He says, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should... Wait, I don't think that's right. Let's see. Yeah, starting 29. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Y'all know that's where they got in trouble for preaching in the name of Jesus. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. Why? Because they was there in the flesh, right? They saw. That's what witnesses do in a courtroom. They testify to the things that they saw and they heard. That's what they're doing here. He says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is who? The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So we see here you've got witnesses in the natural realm of flesh and blood, but he says here also that the Holy Ghost is also bear witness to the things that we've seen and heard. Now look at Romans 9, I think. See, I think I've said this already. Your problem is not my leading. My problem is not your leading. Listen to me, people. Your adult kids' problems is not your leading. Oh, I didn't have one on that. Your adult kids is not your leading. If you're a good parent and you care, usually that's one of the first things you want to do is go solve all their problems, whether it be with money, with time, let them move in with you, God forbid. There's no way God's going to tell me that one, is he, Travis? But having those, just like, for example, I brought it up before, and I'm going to bring it up again, and I wish Jackie was here again this morning that she could testify to this. She sent me a text. Y'all know her son Dylan, right? He's had a problem on and off with things in his life, you know, and had gotten in trouble and was going to redeem to keep from getting into more trouble, you know, through their program. We're going to go through their program and all that. Well, out of her goodness and trying to get him to go and help him, she said that she's going to start going to Redeem Church, which is wonderful if that's what God said. But when she had come here, she said, God told me to come here. And I need y'all to give me something to do, nursery or something other, to help me. That don't really help you. It's either in you or it's not. You'll show up or you won't. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing there. So out of her concern and want to help him and encourage him, she sends me a text that she's going to start going to Redeemed on Sunday and Wednesday. And I just sent her Romans 8:14. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I said, and I'm sure you'll be led. I don't know what you're supposed to do. All I know is the first thing you told me, that God told you you're supposed to come here. Now I'm not hearing you tell me God told you you're supposed to go somewhere else. See, don't change if he don't say change. That's how you're going to get messed up. Regardless of circumstances, feelings, money, anything else. And so she sent me a text back and she said, well, you know, and then something else and I don't remember what it was. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant that in a good way. Because wherever he leads you, he's got something there for you. And then whenever you're in his will, even though you can go through hell, you can have peace inside. So anyway, in the meantime, she finds out after that they have more services than Sunday and Wednesday. And so she could go, we have services Sunday morning, you know, and Wednesday night. So she found out she could go here, like she says the Lord told her to, on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and still be in some of the services with him that was on a different night. How many knows the Holy Ghost knew all about that?
Right.
We don't ever want to get caught doing that stuff. Why? Now you are being emotion led. You hear me? In order to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, every time we're going to have to learn to discipline ourselves. You understand? To not be emotionally led sometimes hurts. I came in the door last night and I told Scotty because I was thinking about some of this stuff. And I said, whoo, thank you, Lord, for the leading of the Holy Ghost. You know, he's just sitting there watching TV, and I guess, what's that mean? Anyway, and I looked at him, I said, do you realize we could be raising 5 kids right now? Come on, hear me.
Yeah.
5, I had one. Whoo. Someone a while back, I don't know, last year, year before, something like that, they had 3 kids. The mama was already in jail and the daddy had been picked up and DHR was taking them away and they sent Scotty's name to DHR to call Scotty to come and get him. One of the family members calls Scotty. Scotty says, number 1, Holy Ghost ain't told us nothing about no kids coming. You hear me? Ain't told me nothing about no kids coming. Okay, so I could have missed it, right? Well, they call wanting us to take their kids. Because DHR is going to take them, put them in foster care. They're family to us. You understand? We pray. We seek the Lord. Nothing.
Right.
So me and Scotty, we talk about it, and I told him, I said, we can't do that. Number 1, there's things in my life that I know I am in the will of God. I know I'm in the will of God being married to who I'm married to. I know I'm in the will of God being the Sunday school teacher here. I know I'm in the will of God where I go to church and certain things that I have to do for his business, for the church. And do you realize 3 kids would change my entire life? Which is fine if that's what he's telling me. So he called him back and he told him, we can't take her. Y'all not hearing me? Mm-hmm. Sometimes he may tell you to take her. I'm not saying he always don't. We can't take her. Why? Holy Ghost didn't say. Right. But they're going to DHR. They may be molested. This may have, do you understand? I can't have that.
Right.
I have to do whatever he says.
Right.
So it was a no. So one of Scotty's sisters took them. Take care, older sisters to keep them from going to DHR. She had them, what, 3 or 4 months? Something like that, 6 maybe. The daddy got out, DHR, he complied with the things he had to go through, he complied, the daddy got them back. Good. God had it all worked out. I didn't need to be involved. Right? Y'all getting too quiet. Lo and behold, little time goes by, somebody else on the other side calls Scotty and asks them to take 2 of their kids. Oh, y'all way too quiet. Y'all would not believe some of the stuff I go through. I know y'all think I don't when I get up here, but woo, something else. But lo and behold, somebody else from the other side of the family calls and wanting us to take 2 of their kids. DHR is going to take them. Some things has happened, blah, blah, blah. Same kind of, I mean, different scenario. But anyway, they're telling us, you know, want us to take them, you know. And Scotty's like, well, I can't take them kids, you know. But they're family. Y'all not hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're family is not my leading. You understand? This is happening so much in the body of Christ. And then you're on all kinds of nerve pills and all this other junk because these kids is just frazzling your nerves or what. You're never supposed to have them to start with.
Right.
But they're family. I don't care. God has a plan for every single one of our lives.
That's right.
And it's our job to find out what that plan is and to walk it out to the best of our ability with his help and grace and mercy to the best that we can. And it's not to alter it. So lo and behold, we told them, you know, we're sorry. We can't. You know, we just can't. Well, I mean, I don't know exactly how that story has ended up because I hadn't checked up on it or anything. But I'm sure the Lord can take care of them just like he did the other 3 that we didn't take. Now, if God had told me, even if I didn't want to, which my flesh would not, kids gets on my nerves, I would have done it. And I would have had grace. And I would have found mercy to help in time of need. Y'all know what I'm telling you? This is happening all over the place. And Christians are just doing it. Why? Because it's family. It doesn't matter. Jesus, they told Jesus, said, your mom and your brothers and sisters, they're outside. What'd he say? Y'all don't know what he said? He said, those that do the will of God are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. Listen, there's some of our family members, they don't do the will of God, even though they may be Christian. So that don't make no difference to me. I have to endeavor to do the will of God. You have to endeavor to do the will of God. Right?
Yeah.
Now, where are we at? Romans 9? Verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. Excuse me. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Some have said that our conscience is the voice of our own spirit. But it's not like what you would think. Our spirit don't say words to us. It's more like an impression or a knowing. Y'all at the Walmart or whatever, and you just run your buggy over there, you know, and it's kind of drifting towards somebody's car, and you're in a hurry, you know, and you start wanting to get in your car, and you got something in the side saying, put that buggy back, put that buggy back, put that buggy back, put that buggy back, 15 times.
Yep.
What do you do? Some put the buggy back, some say shut up and run onto the car. That is the voice of your conscience, which would be the voice of your spirit. Notice what he says here. He says, my conscience also bearing me witness. That's me in here. He says, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in here too. And he bears witness too. We have spiritual senses just like we have physical senses. That's how come I said the voice is not necessarily a voice when he's talking about your conscience, but you hear it. You know what it's saying. But you're not hearing with these things out here on the side of your head, your spirit say words or whatever. But he says your conscience bearing you witness. Now, you don't ever override the voice of your own conscience. Do you know the Bible talks about how that in the last days there'll be people having their conscience seared with a hot iron? You don't want none of that.
Amen.
What's that mean? Just like calluses on your hand, you do the same thing over, 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 over. You can get to the point to where you can take a pen and stick it in there and just twist it all the way around and you never feel it. You don't want to do that. We want to be quick to obey the voice of our conscience, right? You must remain open. This is a hard one sometimes. Now, y'all know I have that little GMC Canyon yellow truck. Okay, I believed God for 2 years for that truck. I didn't know it was for that one, but this is what I mean by that. I had it in my heart what I wanted. Sandy had bought a little red one, but I wanted a four-door, and I didn't want a Colorado. I wanted a Canyon. Canyon's made by GMC. Colorado Chevrolet. So I had it in my heart, I want one of them little trucks, and I want it four-door, and I want four-wheel drive. I don't use four-wheel drive. I just like it. If I want to pull up a tree out of the yard, well, I just go do it. I just want, that's what I wanted. So that's what in my heart, but I don't like yellow. Y'all hear what I said? I don't like yellow. I had seen yellow cars before. I had seen yellow trucks before. And I told Scotty, I said, this is what I want. I said, but I don't want no yellow. I want a blue or a red or something like that. I don't want no yellow. I don't like yellow. 2 years goes by. I had went up here to the car lot, one of the car lots in Arab. I seen one sitting over there. Woo! It was just like that when I think Robert had that white one. Yeah. Had the chrome door handles and all that, and the leather package and all that stuff. Woo! Pretty truck. Before I got the one I got. Well, we're over there, and that lady tells us how much. And Scotty, I could tell, he's like, he's like, that ain't it, you know. Anyway, money's not a lady neither. But anyway, he was messing with me. So the lady points me over there toward a, what was that thing, a Ford F-150 or something, regular cab. Yeah, I think it was Ford F-150 regular cab red truck. I said, I don't want that. She starts telling me, oh yeah, but this is, I said, I don't want that. I said, I'm going to get what I want or I'm not going to get nothing. I need to say she don't want to talk to me no more. But anyway, a little more time goes by. Why? I'm not going to move off of what I got in here. Right. See, sometimes it ain't when we want it to be. We believe God 10 years before our house ever became available. Right. You may want it now, but yours may be down the road. And there may be circumstances why you can't have it right now. I don't know. But anyway, lo and behold, Scotty, he's riding through Africa one day, doing garage doors and all that. That main drag down through there. And he just so happened to look to the right and he sees that truck out there. And he said when he saw it, he knew in here it was mine. It's yellow. I said, I don't want no yellow. He calls, he goes over there and he talks to the guy. Now at this time we borrowed money, traded my truck in, borrowed money and all that because we wasn't up quite to the level of faith that we are right now. Anyway, that's a different story. He talks to the guy, and he tells him, you know, I got to have this much now, blah, 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 you know. And he tells him, said, well, my wife has got a 1996 Buick Century. He said, no, I can't give you that. He told him how much he wanted for it. He said, I can't give you that much. Scotty said, yes, you can. He said, you ain't seen it yet. Yes, you can. So he calls me. He tells me, hey, I need you to come up here to Everville. I found your truck and everything. He starts describing it to me. And then last thing, he says, oh, and it's yellow. I said, I done told you I don't want a yellow truck. He said, I'm telling you, this is it, though. You got to come up here. So me and Travis and Beth, we get in the car and we go up there. I see that truck, and in here, I'm like, it's yellow. God, I like yellow, but I didn't think I liked yellow. Why am I telling you this? Because in order for you to have what God is speaking to you, you're going to have to be open. He knows what you want and what you like and what his plans are better than you think you do.
That's right.
So when I saw that truck, I knew that was it, Sandy. And lo and behold, that thing is yellow. You know what I want now? A yellow Camaro. Yellow is one of my favorite vehicle colors now. But Johnny, before, I don't want yellow. So in order to be led, you're going to have to be open. Because he's going to tell you things you think you don't want to hear sometimes.
Right.
He's going to tell you timings that is usually always later than what you want it to be. So you're going to have to be open to his leading. Now, oh, I don't want to go with that. Y'all write this down if you want to. Romans chapter 2. No, we're going to have to go over there. All right, since we're in 9 here, let's go over to Romans chapter 2 real quick. Because I have got a lot that I feel like I've got to get out today. Verse 13. Just for time's sake. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. We didn't have the law. We don't understand. We didn't understand all that because we didn't have to live by that. That's what he's saying here. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also doing what? Bearing witness and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But notice what he's saying there. What that means is when you get born again, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You obey the law and you don't even know what the law said. But your conscience on the inside is telling you, you either did right or you did wrong.
Right?
So he says there, that's another place where our conscience bears us witness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You need to be led when you're praying, and he will lead you. Y'all hear what I say again? See, I seen a guy on Facebook. He's not on my friends list. I don't know how that got up there, but anyway. And I didn't answer him because there was already 200-something comments he had on there. He came on there, and he wrote, I have prayed. I have fasted. I have read the Bible. Why am I still not healed? You know what the first answer come to me? Because you ain't got any faith yet.
Right.
Faith always receives. Your healing is not based on how much you fast. You know, fasting can help you. Right? Howbeit this kind only come out by prayer and fasting, not talking about that devil, he's talking about that kind of unbelief. So it's not based on how much you fasted, how much you didn't fast, how much you prayed. Listen, you can pray in unbelief all night long and get nothing.
That's right.
You can pray in faith 3 seconds and get it all. So you need to be led in your praying. I can't tell you how many times that I have started praying one way and on the inside get a whole different direction, start praying that direction, and then bam, bam, bam. It just, you know when you hit it, it's kind of like one of them metal detectors or whatever, you're kind of close, it goes beep, beep. The closer you get, it goes beep, 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 beep. Y'all ever notice that when you're praying? If you ain't, you ain't got there yet.
Yeah.
See, I can explain to you all day long, but God wants us to experience what I'm telling you this morning. The Bible says that whenever the apostles would preach and teach, it says the Holy Ghost said showed up with signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the word that they preached. That's what I'm praying happens this morning. Now, what did I tell y'all?
First Corinthians.
Oh, yeah. I think I want to, well, I got to get out of chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think I want to go to verse 9. Let me see here. And all this is for time's sake. Yeah. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That would be us, right? But God hath, did what?
Revealed
them, or we could say showed us, unto us by what?
His spirit,
for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
And you can go on down reading these things. But he says here, that man don't know. Do you realize the devil didn't even know? You go and read the verses up above that. Said, had they known the plan of God, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
enemy knows all things that God has, they are revealed to us by His Spirit on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Psalm 23. So we've seen over and over in Scripture here that the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with me. Right? What's that mean? It means I have a co-witness. I believe it was the Apostle Paul. He was going to go one place and everything. And he said, it was good unto us and the Holy Ghost. How did he know that? Because he had a second witness on the inside. Never go by just one. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some translations say lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now listen, it's the Holy Spirit that does all this stuff. But notice this. If your pasture is dead, dried up, rumble weeds, you're not being led. The Bible says in New Testament, it says, out of your belly, talking about your innermost parts of you, your inward man, shall flow rivers of living water. Right? The Lord told this to Scotty one time, and a lot of people, they didn't believe it or whatever, because of what they experienced. How many knows your experience should not override the Word? Never. Just because you experience something wrong, don't mean something's wrong with the Word. People go through dry places, what they call spiritually dry places, where they're not sensing God, they don't have the joy of the Lord, different things like that. That's totally contrary to Scripture. I just quoted you the Scripture that says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, not dried up wells. Sure. What's that mean? Another Scripture says, draw out of the wells of salvation. What's that mean? Y'all ever seen that old Tommy Well stuff? You got a thing about this long or whatever, or maybe you got a bucket, you put it down in that well, it takes work. You put it down in that well, and you draw it up, and you drink out of it.
Amen.
So what that means is, he says here, he causes me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
That's him. The pastures are green. He goes on, he leadeth me beside what? Raging waters. Beside the still waters. Now I didn't say, listen, there's times he may lead you into what looks like hell. But on the inside, you got still waters. And he can calm while you're in that, even the waters around you.
Right.
But listen, don't let this slip. We're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit or how he leads. He goes on and he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of unrighteousness.
Righteousness.
Oh, this is a big one. Somebody start telling me what the Lord, they say the Lord told them to do. This is one of them I gauge it by.
Yeah.
Was it right according to Scripture? Or according, not my morals or anything like, was it righteous according to Scripture or was it unrighteous according to Scripture? Y'all get what you want. See, I don't know what to, I want to know when he's leading me.
Yeah.
And I want to know when somebody or something else is trying to lead me because I don't want to follow that. He says his sheep, they know his voice, and a stranger, they don't follow. Well, that means I got to get real good at hearing that inward man on the end here because I should not be led by anything or anybody out here. Everything out here, the devil can get involved in, even if it's an open door. Do you realize the devil opens door for people all the time? Well, I prayed and asked God about that. Do you think the devil didn't hear you? Are you serious? He goes on, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's never going to lead me into unrighteousness or doing what's wrong. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I sang this next verse this morning in a way I never seen it before. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I heard this on the inside. If he's really leading me, goodness and mercy will be following behind me. If goodness and mercy's not following, he's not leading.
Yep.
Why? I'm supposed to leave a blessing everywhere I go. Right? So when he's leading me, goodness and mercy will be following me. Now let's look at Isaiah 55. So we see there how he leads and what he leads into. Isaiah 55, since we're here at Old Testament. Oh, for time's sake, let's start in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Don't stop there. The Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ. So don't just take that verse out of context and think, I can't think God's thoughts. Do you realize that's why he gave you this book? This is his thoughts, and he wants us to think them? Of course. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with what?
Joy.
Key indicator of faith. If you ain't got joy, you ain't got in faith yet. We're going to see some more verses. I'm not just taking this one. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with what?
Peace.
Peace. If you don't have peace, there's a problem. He says you'll be led by it. Now listen to me. You can have joy and peace in your heart, but thoughts come into your head. You need to learn what the difference is. Right. And those thoughts that are coming, because you have thoughts that come from in here too, Sandy. You know what? Yeah. Those are what's on the inside of me. The Bible says the mouth will speak the abundance of the heart. I got things going on the inside of here that maybe are not quite right, that I have no peace in here because of it. But I can have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord in here, which is my strength, and have all kinds of junk going on in my head. Those I need to get rid of.
Right.
He goes on, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now go over to Colossians 3. Well, I'll just quote you this one for time's sake. You can write it down, go back, read it. It says, go over to Colossians 3. Verse 15. And let the peace of God, now he's 12 starts talking about put on therefore the elect of God, you know, mercy, kindness, and all this stuff. But in 15 he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is the Amplified version. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, not in your head. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. But notice there, he says, let that peace of God. What does an umpire do in a ball game? He calls it. That's a strike. That's a home run. Right? Ain't that what an umpire does? He's saying, you let the peace of God in your heart do that. Then when something starts disturbing your peace, it's kind of like saying, you're out. The umpire would be saying. But he says they're settling all of it. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Now go over to 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians chapter 14. I could have quoted you this one too, but we're going to look at it. Verse 33. He says, for God is not the author of confusion. The Bible says wherever strife and envy is, there'll be confusion and every evil work. If you're confused, it's not God. God is so simple. Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, he said, you must come like a little child.
Amen.
Amen.
So you know what? Little bitty kids understand him. He's so plain and simple. He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of what?
Peace.
Peace. Other scripture says God is the God of all peace. He goes on and he says, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, look at Romans 15. I know we're going to a lot of scripture. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What you go to school for? Y'all don't never get out textbooks in school? Of course you do. There's a reason this is called Sunday school. Romans 15, I think I want to start in verse 8. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all what?
Joy.
Notice the rest of it. And what? In what? What is believing? You can translate the word. When you look up the word faith, it says strong confidence. It says believing. So here it is again. He puts hope, joy, peace, and faith all in the same sentence. But notice he says, now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When you're really in believing, when you're really in faith, you've got hope, which is a confident expectation. You've got the peace of God, and you've got the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. If you don't, you're not in it yet.
Right.
See, a lot of times we as Christians, and I have done it before myself, I have thought I was, but do you know the Bible, the Apostle Paul talks about over in Timothy, an unfeigned faith? If something can be unfeigned, it can be feigned. What does that mean? It means there's a real and there's a pretend. It means there's a real and there's a counterfeit. And a lot of times we don't like to admit it if we're in the counterfeit. But when you're in the counterfeit, you can call a dog a cat all day long, but it's still going to be a dog and you're still going to have a dog. Right? So there's not nothing wrong with God. We'll get a little bit more. But notice he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of what? Who? The Holy Ghost. He keeps running all these scriptures together with the Holy Ghost. Now look at Hebrews 12. See another one here. Hebrews 12, verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, notice that, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What's he saying here? Jesus went to the cross with joy. How'd he do that? He went to that cross by faith. Knowing inside him and seeing all of us of what that cross was going to do. Faith looks to the end result and it don't got to have details in the hallway. If you got to have details, you're in your head. You better hear me. If you got to have details, you're in your head. Why? Faith sees the end result and it rejoices because you see it done. There are no details. When Peter said, Jesus, if that's really you, bid me come, and he said, come, he didn't say, well, now I need you to tell me now how this H2O here, which is water, you know, is going to hold up. I weigh 225 pounds, you know. I need you to explain to me how all this is going to hold me up. Y'all too quiet.
Come on.
How all this, he didn't do that. What did he do? He said, come, faith was there. He acted on the word that he heard, and bam, the details was worked out. So when I'm really in the faith of God, I've heard from God and I've really got the faith of God. I've got peace and I've got joy, and it can be hell around me. Everything around me could look like it's not working out. But I have to go by what's in here. Now, if I got a problem in here, I'm going to have to do more. What do I mean by that? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's, chapter 4? Somewhere around in there, that he's talking about the children of Israel. He says, labor to enter into what?
Rest.
Faith has rest. Faith has ceased from its own work, trying to make things happen, trying to conjure things up. If you're not resting, you're not really in faith. Well, this is going over real good. I thought y'all'd be happy. Because see, if I got the real thing, y'all know Coke had that commercial for years, you know, if it's the real thing. Well, there's a real faith and there's a fake. See, I can say I believe all day long, but my actions and my words is going to come out.
That's right.
But he says there, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. He looked past by faith. He went to that cross and looked past all the despise and the shame, all the things that he had to go through, and for the joy, the faith caused the joy. Do you know the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength? No wonder the devil wants to take it away. Of course. Because, listen, you can't do nothing with a dead man.
Right.
You put a dead man up here, I'd slap him, beat him, cuss him out, kick him, have an affair with his wife. He don't do nothing. Do you understand? When you're in the true faith of God, the devil can't do nothing with you.
Amen.
They ain't no lie he tells you. They ain't no nothing that you can look out in front of you. Nothing disturbs you. Why? Because you're looking past all that and you're seeing the real thing. You're seeing the end result. God's done told you what it's going to be, and you don't got to have no details. You just rejoice. Yes. And he can't stand it.
Amen.
That's why he's always saying, look at this. How's this going to work? How you going to do this? I got to tell you a little story. Oh my goodness. I got to quit because time's up. But I got to tell you a little story right quick. When we was believing God for our house, and I didn't necessarily have any certain thing. I just wanted out of there, and I can't go into all the details of why, of all that. I'm going to live somewhere else. But anyway, we would look and all this stuff. We're looking. We know in our hearts we have a desire for a house. We don't know the time, and we don't know where it's at. We know it'll be somewhere in the surrounding area. Why? Because of the time. God has got us going to church here. We're pastoring a church here, and that's what he's told us to do. But anyway, lo and behold, we look at these places that are dumps. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm telling you, we went and looked at this one house that Scotty led us to. The whole living room floor, there's a circle like you had cut it out and it's gone. It's a hole. I'm telling you. I just turned around and I just walked out. Now, he's believing God. And God really did say. But he wants, this is what he wants. 15 to 20 acres of land. He wants a brick house, at least a two-bedroom, and he wants a shop already on it, and he wants a well in it because God gave him that scripture, you know, you'll drink out of wells you didn't dig, and so there's got to be a well on it. Now, he wants it for $35,000. Are y'all laughing? He wants it for $35,000. Now listen to me. Can God do some of that? Yes. God ain't going to rip nobody off. He's not in that kind of business. Now he can have that happen, but that's not where we was at. So I get sick of looking at this stuff because this ain't it. He wants to look at that because that's where his faith level is $35,000. Why? Because he's calculated how much down payment, how much payments a month. Oh no, we're not in faith now. Mm-mm. If you can do it, you don't need God to do it.
Right.
So there's no need for faith. He does what you can't do. And usually if he's really telling you, there's no way you can see you can do it.
Right.
So anyway, I told him, because he's calculating all this. You ain't the one got to pay for it. I said, you're not either. God's going to pay for it. I said, listen, you want all this stuff for $35,000 and God's not going to rip nobody off. You're going to have to put the word in and bring up your faith level. Two, what that would cost around in there. So anyway, 10 years, we come across our house. She wants $125,000 for it. Now listen to me. Our house was not available until right before he found it. Because the husband, he would not sell it. Just no. She wanted to sell it to the hotel. He died and we got it.
Wow.
Oh, pray nobody dies, but anyway. So, he puts the word in, he brings his faith. We go from faith to faith, right?
Yeah.
You start on the level of whatever you're on, but you build on it. And glory to glory. So, he starts putting the word in, you know, he starts getting faith, you know, for 100,000. Okay, now he's topped it off at 100,000, Sylvester. That's just where he is. You cannot go beyond what you can believe. You can fake it all day long.
That's right.
But there's no point to that. You won't get it. So anyway, he's topped off, maxed out here at $100,000. You know. So lo and behold, we find our house. You know what she wants for it? $125,000. Oh, he's joking. Now, me, it's not bothering me at the time. He starts choking. Well, lo and behold, anyway, he talks to her, they negotiate and all that. We get it for $100,000, we pay $100,000, and the closing cost. So, now listen to me. We did not have the money when he found that house. For no down payment, no monthly payments, nothing. He finds that house, they are in negotiations and all this. Within a matter of weeks, we have enough money. We give that lady five. Scotty was our real estate agent, too. He don't pay nobody for that stuff. We paid the lady $5,000 now. Mama went with me. I paid $2,000 and something of what was owed on the trailer that they had signed with us with. She went with me so she could testify to it. So there's $5,000 we paid them. $2,000 and something we paid that trailer off. And then we bought a new dishwasher and did some other things and moved in. Sandy, I can't tell you to this day where that money came from. I have no idea. Why? God works out the details. All you got to do is hear what he says and obey. He's got all the details already worked out, and I've got to stop. It's a wonder he ain't just standing up. I'll hear about it when I get to the house, I guess.